Hi, this is Greg Lamont. Welcome to the VeloCast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the VeloCast Advent Calendar. Across 25 days, we will be selecting highlights, lowlights, and assorted points of interest from the always weird and occasionally wonderful 2020 pro cycling season. Behind door number 17 is somewhat of an anomaly for 2020. While just about every other race on the calendar was delayed by the lockdown, the resulting reshuffling of the programme gave us an edition of a Lombardia in August rather than its usual leaf-strewn October.
Did my head in that. I mean, I just could not work out what was going on when we were watching Lombardia in August. But we got a fantastic race. The standard big breakaway formed. When everything came back together, we saw, the strong guys come at the fore. Vlasov, who we've talked about already in these Advent calendar shows, Fuglsang, Ciccone, Bennett, Nibali, and Mollema. We've got to say the wunderkind of Vanderpool was the name on everybody's lips. He was thinking about the Giro, was in great form, great preparation, and he was riding in a way that justified that support. He was to the fore on many of the climbs, he was controlling everything well. But then when they got to the top of the Muro di Sormano, the better descenders in the leaders group put the hammer down. And the first thing about Lombardia that nobody's going to forget is those horrible scenes of Evenepoel hitting the abutment on the bridge, going over the top. And I don't know about you, I thought he was dead. I genuinely thought he was dead. I thought we'd lost the rider live on the television in front of us. It's good to see his recovery. He's back on a bike, very positive, talking well about the future. But that was, for me, one of the most chilling moments of the year.
It definitely was, so much so that, as cycling fans, we all have images of how races are put together. Those little moments that contribute to the overall race win, where someone came to the fore or another rider wasn't able to match the pace that was being set. And the little story blocks get made up from these components. Looking back to Lombardia this year, all I can think of is that crash. Because it was so horrific and the race was going on as it has to do, while everyone had their heart in their mouth worrying about poor Remco and what might be the outcome there, all the little intricacies that we normally store away in our heads as regards how the race was won or lost got completely swept away. I had to go back and actually work out who won the race and how they won it because of that horrific crash that thankfully didn't end anywhere near as badly as everyone thought it had when we first saw it. And even beyond Evenepoel's crash, we had another incident that would have been the headline news probably had it not been for the Deconinck Quickstep rider going over that bridge. Shachtman being hit by a car coming out of a side road in the finale of the race itself.
Yeah, a woman going in her shopping. She feels terrible about that. The Italian press interviewed her afterwards. But that was a simple failure of organisation. There should be no situation in which a live car is on a race route. It just shouldn't. You shouldn't. There's too much traffic that's actually part of the race without introducing random people like some kind of weird Death Race 2000 video game. I'm like you, I'd completely forgotten about the finale, and I went back and watched it, and we actually got a really good race. Fuglsang, who's been strong all year, went on the Seviglio, Bennett covered, Vlasov managed to get back in, Nibali went, which the Italians all side as a nation. Vlasov has dropped again, and then Fuglsang distanced George Bennett to win the thing and really put a seal on a season for him where he'd looked really, really strong. But everything is overshadowed by that crash, and Max Shachtman as well. That was truly shocking. We were all still reeling from watching Remco's crash when suddenly we see a rider hitting a car in a finale. It was chaotic. But good outcomes for all concerned. And watching the race again and the knowledge that nobody was really, really, you know, mortally hurt, I was able to enjoy the finale. It was a good addition to Lombardia, but, you know, with the qualifier that we don't want folk crashing over bridges or cars on the route.
No, definitely not. To the winner himself, Jakob Fuglsang, it has been somewhat of a late career blossom for Jakob. You know, Liège-Bastogne-Liège last year, and the Dauphiné, of course, followed up by the big win of Lombardia this year. Mm. He's one of those guys that, looking back at his career, I mean, he himself says he's happy with what he's managed to achieve, but recognises that he could have won more. But it really has been a career that he was the kind of nearly man for a lot of that time. But 2019, 2020 have been absolute scorchers for him.
Yeah, I think early in his career, he was identified as someone who could perform well in Grand Tours. And that was the curse that struck him a wee bit. You know, we've talked about this so often in the past, when the sport is so dominated by the big three, that if you've got a whisper of talent that indicates you could get on the podium in one of them, the rest of your career has to take a back seat. Fuglsang, I think, has relaxed a bit in the last couple of years and allowed himself, and been allowed by the team, a bit more leeway in the single day races. And he just looks happier on the road. You know, I think he is essentially a good hilly single day racer who had enough stamina to show reasonably well in Grand Tours. I think this is just the Jakob Fuglsang we should have seen from the start of his career.
Join us again tomorrow as we open another pro cycling door. And if you're enjoying our cycling advent calendar selections, please consider subscribing to all our content at velocast.cc.